Appreciate the fact of you coming out and being with us today to study from God's Word. Glad the visitors are here today. We certainly count you our honored guest and invite you back at each and every opportunity to be with the church family here at Gardner Lane. Today I want to talk with you for just a few moments about the sins of David. Norman had preached a lesson on this a couple of weeks ago. In 2 Samuel, in chapter 12, and in verse 9, it says, "Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord? To do evil in his sight. You have killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon." There's some things that you notice about David very quickly when you study the Bible. One is that David is probably one of the more popular people in the Bible. We first meet him as a shepherd boy. He's there attending his father's sheep. He is going to be involved in the war effort with the Philistines by bringing some food to his brothers during that time. We also see during that time that he defeats Goliath, the giant from Gath. We also see that he serves King Saul with honor. He has a great friendship with Saul's son, Jonathan. Their souls are knit together, it talks about in the Bible. He's forced to flee the king because of the king's jealousy and insecurity. As the people have started to take to David at this time, that Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. Yet he retains his integrity, his honor, and his faith in God. He doesn't try to kill the king, even though he has opportunity at different times to take Saul's life. Still, he chooses not to do that. And even at the very end, when Saul and Jonathan die, he mourns the king's death, and definitely mourns Jonathan's death. We see that he's a man after God's own heart. This is talked about in Acts, the 13th chapter. And in verse 22, "But even a man like this can sin and can cause a mess with his life. He acted irresponsibly, foolishly, wickedly." In fact, as I told you last week, many times when I'm sitting down listening to sermons, I will outline sermons, sometimes outline them in my mind, sometimes outline them on a piece of paper. And when Norman was preaching a couple of weeks ago, this is what I did. And I thought about this from the standpoint of the Ten Commandments. I've never preached a lesson on David from the standpoint of the Ten Commandments, or at least the commandments that David broke here at this time. So that's what I thought I'd do, just go back and try to go through this and understand that sin has consequences, and not just for the sinner. We see that David caused a mess with his life. He caused at least fourfold problems with his life, with his different children and what happened to his children. We see that in different studies. But many lives were caused to, no doubt, be a mess because of David's sin. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, it says it happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. David remained at Jerusalem, and then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed, walked on the roof of the king's house, And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. It says in verse 3, David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" David knew exactly who she was. He had a best friend who was Bathsheba's grandfather even, so he knew who Bathsheba was. David sent messengers and took her. She came to him. So I thought, what would be some of the commandments that David broke? Simple sermon today. Simple sermon. One is coveting his neighbor's wife. We see that coveting is a sin. In Luke and in chapter 12, Luke chapter 12 and in verse 15, Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, Jesus said here, Luke 12 verse 15, "Beware and be on guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has the abundance does his life consist of his possessions." We must learn to be thankful, be content with our blessings. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 13 and in verse 5 and 6. He says, "Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, 'I will never desert you, nor will I forsake you.' That we confidently say, 'The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me?'" Nathan comes to him in chapter 12, 2 Samuel, and reminds him. Yet David wasn't content. He wanted more. Despised the commandment of the Lord. He says to do evil in his sight. Another commandment that he broke was number 7. The last one was number 10. Number 7. Again, in verse 3, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. In the Ten Commandments, in Exodus chapter 20 and in verse 16 and verse 14, it says, "You shall not commit adultery." You shall not commit adultery. He knew who she was. He pursued her anyway. He had no right to commit immorality with Bathsheba. Thus, he did it in secret. And it was going to produce a lifetime of pain for David and for others as well. He says in a very familiar passage to us in Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 4. Hebrews 13 and in verse 4. It says, "Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers God will judge." In fact, in many cases, the Apostle Paul will give some sort of a list. And in all those lists, there is that of adultery or adulterers. And they will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. if they choose not to repent. Like Ephesians 5:5. Well, as Norman went through his lesson, I thought, well, there's another one. Commandment number 8. He stole another man's wife. Stole another man's wife. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 3 and 4. David sat and inquired about the woman. Someone said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. Number 8. Thou shalt not steal. Exodus 20:15. We know that she belonged to someone else, Uriah. I remember April the 3rd, 1974, for several reasons. That was the day that they had a major tornado outbreak throughout the United States. And especially here in Kentucky and up in Ohio, they had severe tornadoes. So on April the 3rd, 1974, a tornado came through here. I had gotten home that day from Durant High School. I can remember the helicopter pilot at that time. He was saying that it was coming toward the airport, and we lived right close to the airport. So I grabbed my mom and we went to the southwest corner of our house. That's what they always said back then. And I threw a mattress over the top of us. And our house was really unharmed. My uncle lived next door. Went out to see him. He was sitting in the garage, watching it, sitting in a lawn chair the whole time. He didn't even know there was a tornado. But he said, boy, there's a lot of stuff blowing down the street. Four houses down, we had a house that was about halfway destroyed. Fella Joe Richards and his wife Regina, 3 kids, and part of their house was destroyed. Then it sort of hopped over from where we lived over to Audubon Elementary School. Even before that, it hit the fairgrounds and tore off a roof at the fairgrounds. Then hopped over to Audubon Elementary School and hit the library over there. They said they found library books from Audubon up in Xenia, Ohio. How far the power of the wind would carry. So maybe you remember April the 3rd, 1974. I was talking to a fellow one day, and wasn't somebody from Louisville. But he said, April the 3rd, 1974 changed my life. I said, how's that? He said, well, he said, my family was home that day. He said, the tornado hit our house. Destroyed our house. I said, really? I said, what did you do? He said, I didn't do anything. I wasn't there. I said, where were you? He said, I was with another woman on the other side of the county. They were committing immorality. He said, when I got home that night and pulled in and saw my house destroyed, said one of my little boys came out, probably about 5 years old at that time in 1974. Little boy, he said, "Daddy, where have you been?" He couldn't tell him at that time he had been with another woman all day. But he said that day changed his life spiritually. That he made up his mind. He repented. He wasn't going to do that anymore. Thou shalt not steal. That's what that fellow was doing. He was stealing. That's what King David was doing. He was stealing. God condemns all stealing in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 28. We usually think of stealing in terms of money or physical possessions, but one can steal another person's spouse. We see this in the record of Mark chapter 6. To where Herod had his brother Philip's wife. It says in chapter 6 of Mark and in verse 17. It says, "For Herod himself had sent and had John arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, because he had married her." He had married her, but God said she's still Philip's wife. "For John had been saying to Herod, 'It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife.'" Even though Herodias thought this was consensual, Still, it was a theft. In 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 6 and 7, David sent to Joab, said, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." So Joab sent Uriah to David. Then David had come to him, and David asked how Joab was doing and how the people were doing and how the war prospered. I think this was the major theme of Norman's lesson. But when he said that, this is what I thought. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Commandment number 9. He lied. He misrepresented the reason that he had called for Uriah. We will go through great pains to cover sin in our life. And that's what David did as well. He went through great pains to cover the sin. We see in John chapter 8 and then verse 44, John 8 and then verse 44. John 8 and then verse 44. "You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and he is the father of lies." All lying is wrong. We see in Ephesians 4, verse 25, we must put away lying. Another commandment. He murdered. Thou shalt not kill. Exodus chapter 20 and in verse 13. He had to do this to cover up his adultery. But how could David do such a terrible thing? Murder has always been a terrible crime. There's always been two or three witnesses that are needed in order to put someone to death. fact, he says that murderers will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Revelation 21 and in verse 8. Revelation 21 in verse 8. But the cowardly and unbelieving, abominable persons, immoral persons, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars will have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Murderers. Well, how far does this go? Well, God, the idea is you don't have to pull the trigger to be guilty of just murder. 1 John chapter 3. Look at what he says. 1 John 3 and then verse 15. 1 John 3 and then verse 15. 1 John 3 and verse 15. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So as we bring this to a conclusion, folks, what did David do when he was confronted with sin? Well, let's just turn over to Psalm 51. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, only you, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. He didn't soften his vocabulary. It was a simple statement. I have sinned. The lesson tells us that sin will take us further than we've ever dreamed. Sin is destructive. And we do not sin in a vacuum, that it affects other people. We need to be honest and humble about our sins. The Lord is willing to forgive us. And with the sins of David, we see that we have all sinned. But the question is, have we all repented? Oh, don't let ego keep you from eternal life. I've known the people that didn't want to be baptized because they didn't want to get their hair wet because it would embarrass them in front of people. Don't let ego stop you from obeying God. Or that of because of the sins you've committed. Maybe you think, well, I could just outlast God here, you know. God, he's getting older now, just like I'm getting older, and maybe he'll be forgetful of some of these sins later on. And that's the way some people lead their life. Don't let ego carry you away. Repent of your sin. And the last question, have we been forgiven? We'd encourage you, if you need to respond to the gospel, to come right now while together we stand and sing.